Sportsnet 960, telling Calgary sports story on the air and online. Sportsnet.ca/960. The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
There are two big stories that need to be talked about for tonight's game at the Scotiabank Saddledome between the Calgary Flames and the Minnesota Wild. The first one is the easy one. We'll get the low-hanging fruit out of the way because it is the one that I think everybody's talking about. The second one, it's a pretty easy angle, and I know the boys already talked about it last hour too, but I think it deserves a lot more hype as well, a lot more time as well. But we'll start with the easy angle, Will, and that's the retribution angle from the last time the Flames took on the Minnesota Wild. Of course, that was 16 days ago. Johnny Gaudreau had his finger broken in a 1-0 win in St. Paul for Calgary. That was Chad Johnson's first shutout of the season. And I think, I got to be honest with you, and I know that I'll probably get flamed on the text line, and I know there'll be lots of people calling me idiots once again. I think the retribution angle is a little overplayed. But then again, you know, again, lots of people disagreed with me when I said that slashing isn't as big a deal as some were making it out to be. It was unfortunate that it happened, but my take 2 weeks ago was it happens in every game. It happens to every skilled player. And it's going to continue happening with Johnny Gaudreau. And I kind of just, I guess my point was, yes, we can talk about cracking down on it more. And I think there's a case to crack down on it more from an officiating standpoint. But to say that it's ever going to be completely out of the game or that Johnny Gaudreau will never have to deal with it, that's not the case. So I think the retribution side of things is maybe a little overplayed tonight. Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Minnesota Wild, was asked about it today, and he actually was asked about it yesterday and addressed it. And then this morning prior to Minnesota's morning skate, he was asked about it again. Here's Bruce Boudreau on the retribution angle for tonight.
They've played 20-some games this year. Every game somebody slashed somebody on the hands. So, I mean, it's not the viciousness of the slashes. It's the gloves are getting less and less padding, and scorers tend to not want anything in there, so their hands are more free. Look at Eric Staal, has never been accused of being a goon or anything. So, I mean, you got to believe that it wasn't intentional. As to what they think, they can think what they think. But I know our team, and I was just explaining, is one of the least penalized teams in the league for the last 5 years. So, I mean, you don't think that we were targeting out there by any stretch of the imagination.
So there's Bruce Boudreau and his thoughts.
Beside
yesterday,
a jet engine.
He said, clearly, it's always beside something when, you know, when coaches talk, apparently. The loudest practice in the history of mankind's going on sometimes, or an F-18 afterburner's just kicked in, or there's always something going on. But there's Bruce Boudreau. Yesterday he called the allegations that the Wild were targeting Johnny Gaudreau. He called them crazy allegations, and today you just heard what he had to say. And he also talked about how, look, it's Eric Staal. How many career penalty minutes does Eric Staal have? We're not talking about a dirty player in Staal, and you know, pretty vehemently denied that they were out to target Johnny Gaudreau, and his take was, hey, this happens, it's hockey. Here's Eric Staal. Of course, he was the player that the third period slash ended up breaking the finger of Johnny Gaudreau, and here's what Eric Staal had to say.
They're up-tempo team. They had a good game last game against Toronto, and it was a tough game last time we played them at home. We had a lot of opportunities and weren't able to get enough by them. But, we're expecting a fast-paced game. And, hopefully we'll be ready to go right at the beginning of the game, and we'll go from there.
Is that the clip you wanted?
Okay, so maybe it was to the question that he was – I don't think that was exactly the clip that I wanted, which is my fault. But, again, basically the point is, and he didn't really say much else about the Johnny Gaudreau slash, other than hey, look, we're just going to keep on playing our game. It's going to be a fast-paced game, and we know that it's going to we know that they play physical, but if they do try to go for retribution, we don't think they should. We'll deal with it. It was basically Eric Staal's take, and we heard what Bruce Boudreau had to say as well. Look, I don't think there needs to be the conversation had about retribution. The reason I say that, again, is because these things happen. Look, I'll give you an example on the other side. Go back to Wednesday night. I believe it was in the third period. No,
I
second
have the audio
period.
If you want it.
From Eric Staal?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's hear from Eric Staal once again. This is a more accurate clip from Staal.
Hopefully it went for us. I mean, that's the main focus for our group, but you never know what's going to happen. You go out and prepare the same way regardless. Obviously, it's unfortunate player of his caliber to go down and that injury to happen, but, I mean, it's part of the game. There's slashes happen. That's not going to be the last time he's going to be slashed, and it's not the last time I've ever been slashed. So, I feel bad because you miss time and one of those things that's unfortunate, but for me, I'm going to prepare the same way and try and help my team get 2 points because it's a big game for us.
See, really, the clip I played didn't say much less than he just said there in a lot of ways. But look, they're not buying into it too much, and they believe, like some people do, like a lot of people do, that it's part of the game. And I'm curious as to where you are on this, Will, because I don't think there should be retribution at all here. Now, the example I was going to use is you go back to Wednesday night, and it was the second period. Troy Brower, who the day after the news came out said, yeah, I do it to skilled guys all the time. It's part of my game. Troy Brower laid a nasty slash on Mitch Marner on Wednesday, and Marner put his hand up and shook off his right hand, and there is no penalty call on that. And I'm not saying that the NHL couldn't be a little stricter with it. I'm not saying that referees couldn't call it a little bit more, but sometimes they're tough to see. Sometimes if you're watching one part of the game, you don't see a slash administered. And this is going to be something that skilled players like Gaudreau, and I think there's a lot of similarities in Marner's game with Gaudreau's game, these are things that are going to happen to skilled players like that. And so... Do I think that there's a conversation to be had about cracking down on it? Yes. Do I think there's a reason for retribution tonight? I got to be honest with you, Will. I don't see that making a ton of sense.
Man, I would love to come on here and yell and disagree with you and tell you that you're wrong, but I completely agree, Pat. I think it's a silly angle. I think there's going to be no retribution at all. I think it would be dumb of the Flames to be focusing on that. They should be looking at winning a hockey game, not looking to get even, if you will, eye for eye, however you want to look at it. They should be focusing on winning a hockey game. And do I see a situation where perhaps there's a scrum or something in front of the net and somebody gives Eric Staal an extra face wash or gets in his ear and says a few words? Yeah, that's probably going to happen. But I don't think the Flames are going to go out of their way to chase down Eric Staal or to be targeting Zach Parise or to finish a hit late by 8 seconds on Eric Staal. I just think it would be silly. I think it's part of the game. It happens all the time. You heard, Boudreau talk about that. It's just unfortunate. Got him in the wrong spot. And Gaudreau's missed some time. But I think it would be completely silly to be hyping this angle and to be looking at this as a storyline for tonight because I just don't see it myself.
Couple of texts, and then we'll move on. I didn't have a problem with the slashing so much as I did with them getting away with all of them. If they had taken one or two penalties as a result, I don't think it'd be such an issue as we're making it out to be today. And this one, Pat, you're wrong. How can you defend someone after they deliberately injured someone? It was not an accident. 21 slashes means that he was targeted. I'm hoping for revenge tonight. I 100% disagree that he was deliberately trying to injure Johnny Gaudreau. I think that, I don't think they're ever in. He didn't go out Staal or Suter or any of the other. I don't think they went out and said, yeah, I'm going to go break the guy's hand. It was, you're trying to get a guy off his game. You're trying to make it difficult for a guy to go about his business. That's the way I look at slashing in this league. And I know a lot of people point at me and call me a Neanderthal or say that I've got a stupid way of looking at the game. I guess I'm just at this point resigned to the fact that it's part of the game. It's not always going to get called. Sure, I think there's a case to be made about cracking down on it, but That's about as far as I go when talking about this one. I don't think there should be much of a retribution angle at all for tonight's game. Welcome to the Big Show. He's Will. I'm Pat. We are live from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome inside the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Flames and Wild tonight at 7 o'clock. Sportsnet West on television, of course, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Flames going with the exact same lineup tonight as they did against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Wednesday. So that includes Jyrki Joukkopäkka in for a third consecutive game. Your healthy scratches tonight will be Hunter Shinkarak up front and Brent Kulak on the back end. As for Minnesota, they look to be making a couple of minor changes, a minor change on the back end and a minor change up front on their fourth line, but nothing crazy in terms of what they'll be looking like tonight. Devan Dubnyk in net for Minnesota. Chad Johnson gets the start in net for the Calgary Flames. And that's the other big story that I think is more significant in this one tonight, Will. And I know that I know that you and Kirsch and Lubo talked about it on Hockey Central at noon just over an hour ago. But look, Chad Johnson and Devan Dubnyk are two Calgary-developed products playing some of the best hockey on the planet right now. Look, I think there's probably a very, very easy case to be made that Chad Johnson and Devan Dubnyk are playing some of the best hockey at the position of anyone on this planet right now. The way Johnson's played in his last eight starts with a .951 save percentage, incredible. And Devan Dubnyk right now, if you were to give away a Vezina trophy right now, I think Devan Dubnyk probably wins it hands down. He has started 17 games and has a .946 save percentage. That's stupid. And the fact that these guys are both developed in this city, the fact that 5 years ago, had you said, I bet you Devan Dubnyk and Chad Johnson are going to be two of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League in December of 2016, I don't think anybody could have seen that coming. The fact that they have had to go through some trials and tribulations and different but still hard roads or hard-working roads to get where they are right now, I think this is really significant, and Rob will be able to speak to it a little bit more when he joins us at the top of the hour. But you know, in a city that's looking for more goalies from a minor hockey perspective, this is a really significant story at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome tonight, and I love the fact that we're seeing Devan Dubnyk and Chad Johnson go head-to-head tonight.
I think it's awesome, Pat. I'm glad that you brought it up as your second big story of this game because I think it is significant, and you know, I think it's cool that they're both from Calgary. You know, they certainly grew up playing hockey in this city, and the fact that you mentioned it, I mean, they're kind of their road to be where they are right now in this sport is kind of similar. I mean, it's different because Devan Dubnyk was a little higher profile when he was drafted, but for the most part, their road to get here, you know, going through a bunch of different teams, and right now playing some really good hockey. It's really cool to see these two go head to head, and I'm quite excited to watch this one tonight because of those two guys.
Yep, and they're playing some really, really good hockey right now.
How good is Devan Dubnyk, though? Like, you know, we like, gave so much love to Chad Johnson, and rightfully so yesterday. I think that was the story, especially with the way he played in November. But you look at Devan Dubnyk, since he was acquired from Minnesota, I mean, it's just the combination that he's put up in that, two and a half years, it's pretty impressive.
I got to say, this would be year three of him. So he got to Minnesota about 2 years ago. And since that time, he's been nothing but a number one goaltender. And not to say what Chad Johnson's doing right now isn't surprising, Will.
Yeah.
But I think it's less surprising even than what Devan Dubnyk's doing. Because Johnson's been a capable backup with solid numbers throughout his entire career. He was a capable backup behind Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask in Boston. And he was a very capable backup with the Islanders. And then he was brought in to be a backup in Buffalo last year. He ended up playing a lot of minutes. And he was very, very good that year. So at the very least, you know, we know that Chad Johnson has been able to get the job done. And so this is surprising what he's doing right now, but not totally stunning. Devan Dubnyk was never going to play in the National Hockey League again. When his career temporarily fizzled out with the Edmonton Oilers and he got traded to Nashville and Montreal and the guy couldn't even play in the American Hockey League, like this guy's career was no questions asked, beyond a shadow of a doubt, done. And then he goes to Arizona. He plays all right in Arizona that year as Mike Smith's backup, if you remember, and then gets traded to Minnesota, gets that opportunity again, and he hasn't looked back once. And that, to me, is maybe one of the most incredible retribution – sorry, retribution's the wrong word one of the most incredible bounce back stories that I've ever seen in this league, knowing from where he was to where he is right now. Stunning. And there's no questions asked. He is a number one goaltender in this league, and you can't dispute that anymore, right?
No, you can't. I would even put him in the top 10 category. You could even probably put him in his time in Minnesota as a top five guy based on numbers alone. Just the way that he has kind of transformed his game is pretty impressive, and you're right. I mean, he was out of the league. He was off to Europe. He was going to retire. He couldn't even make a living in the American Hockey League, and you know, the latter part of his time in Phoenix, he kind of turned things around, then went to Minnesota and really took off. We played the interview with Tom Reed at Hockey Central, the color analyst for the Wild right now. And, remember that season where he went to Minnesota, started 39 of 40 games down the stretch. He's been a workhorse for them, Pat, and no question is the number one goaltender in Minnesota. And probably I would put him in a top five, top six scenario in the National Hockey League right now.
Devin Dubnyk for the Wild, Chad Johnson for the Calgary Flames this evening. They are playing some of the best goaltenders in the National, best goaltending rather. They're playing some of the best minutes. Good grammar, Steinberg. They are two of the best goaltenders right now in the National Hockey League. They go head-to-head this evening. Tomorrow, nothing on the line other than pride at the Calgary Flames Sport Check Super Skills Competition starting at 1 o'clock at the Scotiabank Saddledome tomorrow. Looking forward to it. It really is a cool and unique opportunity to get a little bit more up close to Flames players when things aren't as serious. It's all about fun tomorrow. It's all about the fan experience tomorrow, and it is affordable. This is a very affordable thing to do for the entire family. You got the wife and three kids, and you can never come to a Flames game just because of the expensive nature of it. Totally get it. This is $10 a person. You come on down and you get a really, really cool afternoon. They're doing five competitions. They've got an open practice starting at 11:30. That's when the doors open. General admission seating tomorrow, and it starts at 1 o'clock. $10 on the Calgary Flames website right now, calgaryflames.com, or $10 at the door tomorrow. Walk-up is very much encouraged if you want to go about it that way. Super Skills tomorrow from the Scotiabank Saddledome, all brought to you by SportCheck. Looking forward to it. The Calgary Hitmen need a huge weekend in Saskatchewan as they kick off another long road trip tonight. We'll get you the latest from the Hitmen next on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old, same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Hitmen really focused on having a big weekend, really focused on having a big road trip. They kick off four in a row in Saskatchewan tonight when they take off the Swift Current Broncos. It's a 6 o'clock face-off on sportsnet.ca/960 tonight. That's on the alternate stream. And then tomorrow on the radio starting at 6 o'clock, Hitmen and Moose Jaw Warriors here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Hitmen 8-12-2. They're sitting pretty far back of a playoff spot right now, so if they're going to get in a roll, it's going to have to happen pretty quick. It's time for the Western Hockey League Insider. Brad Curl is going to join us to get us the latest on around the league in just a few minutes. But first, let's hear from Brady Regan of the Calgary Hitmen. The Hitmen defenseman, 1 goal, 5 points in 18 games so far this season. Hitmen, Swift Current Broncos tonight at 6 o'clock from Swifty. Here's Brad Curl in conversation with Brady Regan.
Brady, we'll start with your history. You're a Calgary boy. Tell me about growing up in the city of Calgary.
It's a big city. I always grew up watching the Hitmen and idolizing those guys, and it's a huge honor to be part of that organization now, and I've heard nothing but great things about the organization and such a rich history there. I'm super excited.
When you were a youngster going to Hitmen games, who are some of the names that you still remember to this day?
Well, not even those names. It's names I played against, too, that I idolized, too. It's like the Virtanen and even the Roaches and all those guys, like the big, strong, tough guys that know how to get it done. And I looked up to guys that I compare myself to, like to be a defensive defenseman and a big shutdown guy and hard body to play against. So I try and take a little bit of everything out of those guys and try to implement it in my game.
So being from Calgary, what quadrant of the city did you grow up in and how did you get into the sport?
I grew up in the south, and I don't know, I was kind of a farm boy before, and then a bunch of my buddies started playing hockey, so then I just decided I'd go with it and brought me here, and best decision I ever made.
Well, you started in the Western Hockey League with the Regina Pats before moving to Lethbridge. Tell me about last year with the Hurricanes. You win the Central Division crown. For you, career highs across the, I guess across the board, goals, assists, points, assists, plus, minus. What was last year like for you and the organization?
It was a good year. It was a good year for me personally. It was a great year for the organization to get off that little losing stint for a couple of years that they had. But for me, it was huge. It opened up a bunch of new doors, and it for sure helped my career a ton.
Now, you come to a Hitman team that's blue line is in transition. Gone are the players from last year that have played so many minutes. Keegan Kanzig, Colby Harmsor, Travis Sanheim. And with Jake Bean being injured, essentially four of their top six, it's a new group this year. So what do you hope to add to this back end? And you know, you're probably going to be one of the most experienced guys right now.
Yeah, I'm going to take that experience and help the younger guys and help the less experienced guys with game situation stuff in practice. I'm going to try and give them game situations that I've been through and practice stuff that I've been through and just kind of try and help them along the blue line, because I know it's a little bit of an experienced decor, and that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help, and I'm here to eat up some minutes too if they need and be that big shutdown guy and move bodies in front of the net.
What is it about being a shutdown guy that you really enjoy?
Just playing against top lines every night. I love the challenge. It's there's no better feeling than coming off the ice and you shut down their top line. It's and you help your team win that way.
For you, tell me about playing defense. Has that always been a position for you, or did you start when you were younger as a forward and maybe a goalie and try them all out?
I can honestly say I've only played one game as goalie, and I didn't like any of it. So, but I always played defense. I was always bigger than all the other kids and could skate a little bit better than all the other kids. So it's just something that I got put into.
Earth Brady Regan, the newest member of the Calgary Hitmen. For you, how do you think you've matured in the Western Hockey League from that wide-eyed rookie to now the veteran 19-year-old?
Coming in as a 16 was a big eye-opener, right? So, and going through that process, like every rookie will go through that process where they go to being the youngest guy and then come to being the oldest guy. So they just got to take, they can't take any of it for granted, as I didn't. So you just got to work as hard as you can day in and day out, and in the end, it'll happen. So
coming to a new team, did you know any of the current Hitmen before you arrived in Calgary here?
Playing against them a little bit. I know me and Zipper had a little bit of a battle on the ice, and I knew Beck Malenstein too from OHA when I was in Bantam. So just a great group of guys here. Everybody's shown me nothing but respect, and I'm really excited to get it going.
Well, Brady, thanks for this, and good luck as a member of the Calgary Hitmen.
Thank you.
That is Brady Regan, acquired by the Calgary Hitmen, in conversation with Brad Curl as we are underway on the Western Hockey League Insider this afternoon. Calgary Hitmen, Swift Current Broncos tonight. It is a 6 o'clock face-off on the alternate stream, sportsnet.ca/960. So there's Brady Regan in conversation with Brad Curl. One goal, 5 points in 18 games so far this season. And now we welcome in the voice of the Calgary Hitmen and our Western Hockey League Insider, Brad Curl. Hello, Brad. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm loving life. I'm in Swift Current getting ready for the old Hitmen and the Broncos tonight. How's your afternoon going?
It's good. It's very good. And we will get to that game between the Hitmen and the Broncos in just a couple of seconds. But some league-wide issues I want to get to with you from around the Western Hockey League. And we're seeing something pretty special right now from a pretty highly touted prospect in Carter Hart. He is doing some stupid things between the pipes right now, isn't he?
Well, he certainly is. He's the goaltender of the Everett Silvertips that has back-to-back-to-back shutouts. Three consecutive shutouts. He's got a shutout string now of 187 minutes and 1 second. It's good for a franchise best of the Everett Silvertips. And the league record is coming into conversation here. Chris Worthy of the Flin Flon Bombers holds the league record at 265 minutes, set back in 1967-68. That's a long time ago. I'm willing to bet that a lot of our listeners maybe weren't even born back when that record was established. So if Carter Hart can throw another shutout on the table, all of a sudden you'll think about Chris Worthy's record may fall. And you look at the work of Carter Hart, and it hasn't been easy pickings. He's had a 37-save shutout against Seattle, a 26-save shutout against Prince George, and a 20-save blanking at a Kootenai Ice. So he stopped his last 83 shots. And really no surprise, Pat, this kind of year we're seeing from Carter Hart as Canada announces their World Junior Selection Camp invites this week. And he's one of three goaltenders invited. Second-round pick of the Philadelphia Flyers in the NHL entry draft of this past summer, and actually the first goaltender taken in the draft. And you look at his style, and he's very much modern-day. You might want to call it very Carey Price-like. Positionally sound, very little unnecessary movement in his net, and good size as well at 6'1", 170 pounds. So great start to the season for Carter Hart in the Everett Silvertips.
Well, and speaking of Hart, we're not sure whether or not he'll be between the pipes or not for Everett tonight, but we do know the Silvertips host the Medicine Hat Tigers, and this is the game of the night in your eyes, isn't it?
Cool. This doesn't get any better than this right now, Pat. You've got the top two teams points-wise in the WHL. The Medicine Hat Tigers lead the Central Division. They've won 10 in a row, 13 of their last 14 games, and in that 10-game winning streak, no problem, outscoring their offense 59-23. Pretty solid. On the Everett side of things, they're number two in the league, 19-3-4 overall, just one regulation loss in their last 15 games. And so many people say when you have these marquee matchups, one team so offensively powered, such as the Medicine Hat Tigers, who lead the league with 138 goals, averaging 5.1 a game against Everett, so defensively stingy, a league-best 1.73 goals against. Usually defense beats offense, but we'll find out if that's the case. And boy, what a juggernaut Medicine Hat has put together. We talked about them last week on the WHL report. They've got four of the top nine scorers in the league, including Mason Shaw, who's number two, and Chad Butcher, number three. The number one power play, the number one penalty kill. But on the Everett side, we just talked about Carter Hart leads the league in goals against average and save percentage. So real dandy tonight, Medicine Hat and Everett. And it wouldn't be a big step off a leap of faith or a leap into the future if you were to say we're looking at a potential league final preview tonight in the Tigers and the Silvertips.
Brad Curls with us, voice of the Calgary Hitmen and our Western Hockey League insider. This is the WHL Insider, and a Calgary product rolling after a pretty recent trade to Swift Current. It's the Hitmen and the Broncos tonight, and on the other side of things, yeah, there's a Calgary product playing some good hockey with the Broncos.
Yeah, quite often you think of trades and you hope for someone who changes scenery that really launches them into a new dimension. And it has for Ryan Graham, played his minor hockey in Calgary, as you alluded to, AAA Bantam and Midget with the Calgary Royals. Originally a fifth-round pick of the Saskatoon Blades, and he's carved out a pretty good Western Hockey League career. But with an injured player coming back in Saskatoon, they had one too many overage players. So they move Ryan Graham to the Swift Current Broncos, and boy, he has caught fire here in Swift Current. In Saskatoon, one goal in 11 games. In Swift Current, he's got five goals in only four games, 9 points. Missed the first 13 games of the season with a lower body injury. Maybe that factored into his slow start with Saskatoon, but it's really worked for Ryan Graham, and you hope that maybe it can springboard to a pro opportunity. In each of the last 2 years, he's earned free agent invites to NHL camps, attending Ottawa this past summer and Minnesota the year before, still hoping to get that contract. But Ryan Graham and the Swift Current Broncos seem to be a great mix. And you almost reminiscent to last year when Kootenai traded John Martin to Swift Current. Didn't really put the big numbers on the board in Kootenai, shows up in Swift Current, and boom, one of the top goal scorers in the league, Ryan Graham, hoping that that's some kind of that Bronco magic rubs off on his stick in his time in Swift Current this year.
Brad, I know the first 22 games of the season rather have not gone the way the Calgary Hitmen have wanted them to. They're four games below 500. They're sitting a little further back than they're used to of a playoff spot. They've got four games in Saskatchewan here starting tonight in Swift Current. So how huge is this back-to-back weekend? How big is this upcoming road trip for the Hitmen?
Well, there's no question, Pat. I would say almost this is a season-defining road trip for the Calgary Hitmen. You've got two teams on back-to-back nights tonight. Swift Current, a team that they've had a lot of success against this year. They've taken 3 of 4 points against the Broncos. And then middle of next week, they'll go into Saskatoon and Prince Albert and play two non-playoff teams such as themselves right now. So this is a road trip. I think if you come back in the Calgary Hitmen and you have 3 out of 4 wins it would really spring you into maybe a better turnaround cycle than what they're in right now. But I think the coaching staff is preaching baby steps. This is a team right now that is probably lacking some confidence. They've lost three in a row, seven of their last eight. So baby steps would be the process. But for sure, I really think that this is a season-defining road trip. If they come back, picking up only one out of four victories, I can really put them behind the eight ball, because they're already starting to flip out of the playoff race. They've got 18 points right now. 26 gets you in. So that's a big enough deficit as it is. Yep. However, on the positive side, Pat, they're expecting Jake Bean back into the lineup. And as we know, a major contributor to the offense from the back end, scored a franchise best 24 goals last year, set the new franchise record. He will return tonight in swift current. So some encouraging news for the Hitmen. I know goal scoring has been a bit of a problem, and to get one of your best offensive players back in the lineup hopefully will produce some dividends. And ironically, tonight, it's the teddy bear toss in swift current.
Absolutely. Hey, it's another opportunity for you to be a part of a teddy bear toss, Brad. Fortunately, I still think Calgary's record numbers of teddy bears are safe in comparison. Tonight's game, 6 o'clock, and you'll have it with Ken Thrower on the alternate stream, sportsnet.ca/960. Then tomorrow on the radio here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, for that game against the Moose Jaw Warriors. Have a safe and hopefully successful weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Take care.
He is Brad Curl. He joins us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Enjoy flame-grilled burgers paired with local craft beer. Visit their new location, now open in East Hill, 17th Avenue Southeast, and Stony Trail. And that'll do it for the Western Hockey League Insider. We do it every Friday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's a game day today, Calgary Flames and the Minnesota Wild. And we talked to Katie Stajan yesterday about what's happening today. Today, starting at 5:30, beside Section 227 or 227, it is the Calgary Flames Better Halves Toy Drive in honor of Emerson Stajan. So they've got they're going to have a big little kiosk and table set up, and what they're looking for is brand new toys for teens and tots, and that includes gift cards. They're really encouraging gift cards, especially for the teenagers, and these are then going to be distributed. All the toys going to be distributed between Ronald McDonald House and the Alberta Children's Hospital. Such a cool thing they're doing for, you know, kids who might not be able to get gifts, or kids who are in a really tough spot and battling some really, really difficult things health-wise. And for them to get a visit from the Flames and the Better Halves and to get a gift like that unsolicited, such a really cool thing. And Katie talked yesterday about just how many smiles they were able to light up when they did this last year. This is the second year they've done this. They delivered 27 huge boxes last year, thousands of dollars worth of toys and gift cards because of the generosity of Calgary Flames fans, and would love to see that again. Once again, beside Section 227 from 5:30 p.m. until the end of the first intermission, the Calgary Flames Better Halves will be set up. So drop off a brand new toy or a gift card, and the toys and gift cards will be distributed evenly between Ronald McDonald House and the Alberta Children's Hospital. That's tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Big Show continues next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Text 960-960 anytime to contact, chirp, applaud, agree, or disagree with Sportsnet 960. And by the way, keep it clean or clean enough. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on The Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
He's Will Nault. I'm Pat Steinberg. What do we got today, William?
Well, I'll just kind of further to your sarcastic game planning on Thursday. I'm going to kind of ask you a pretty obvious question to start it off, Pat. Last time these two teams met, it was a 1-0 score. Will the Flames need more than one goal to win tonight against the Minnesota Wild?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Minnesota's struggled of late. They're 5-6-2 in their last 13 games. They started the season 6-2-1, but they've gone 5-6-2 since. But I still think this is a pretty good team, and I don't think to constantly count on winning 1-0 games or 2-1 games, probably not the way the Flames want to be working things right now. Look, if you can do it, great, but I still think that you want to score more than they have of late. So, yeah, I think it probably will. I think this Wild group, you know, they don't score a ton, but they do have depth, and they've always got that potential of being able to pop a bunch. You know, when you take a look at Parise and Granlund and Coyle and Koivu and they've just got a nice Pominville. It's got a lot of nice players and a lot of good depth. So I think this will be a tough one for the Flames tonight. And I think definitely more than one goal is probably going to be needed for tonight.
It looks like it's kind of all signs pointing towards the San Diego Chargers going to exercise their relocation option to Los Angeles. Does that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. Look, we know that San Diego doesn't want to be in San Diego. We know that Oakland doesn't, or the Raiders don't want to be in Oakland. And we knew that the Rams didn't want to be in St. Louis. So the Chargers very, very likely moving to Los Angeles, not a big surprise. And hey, I mean, L.A. is the second biggest market in North America. It's one of the biggest media markets on the planet. To have two teams like they have in New York makes a ton of sense. And it's not all that crazy to have two teams in a city. I mean, it works in Chicago. It works in New York. And let's not forget, like, you go to the UK and the amount of premiership teams in some, like, you know, Manchester, it's a big city, but not a massive city. It's got two premiership teams, and London's got multiple premiership teams. I mean, so to think that LA and New York can do two NFL teams, it's not that crazy. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me one bit, and I think it'll work just fine. And I think having the Rams and Chargers there will be a success for the NFL.
A lot of people talking about Jimmy Howard this year, Pat. He's had a pretty good start in Detroit, a 182 goals against, 940 save percentage, and a shutout. He's just 5-5 through 11 starts, but you look at his last five games in a snapshot, and three of them, the save percentage, no good. One of those games included a loss to Calgary, allowed three goals on 26 shots, and the save percentage at .885. So, you know, we talked about kind of the fact that Mrazek was the goaltender in Detroit, but Jimmy Howard's had a great start. Do you see him kind of on a bounce back trail, or is this just kind of a stretch of 10 games where he's been pretty good?
Well, Howard's been good, and he deserves the credit for being good. I think what this shows more than anything else, and it's a cautionary tale. Somebody texted this in yesterday. It's a cautionary tale to be, you know, talking about with Chad Johnson, too. Peter Mrazek looked like the number one goaltender, no questions asked, in Detroit last year. And he's taken a big step back in this year, where he went into the season without, you know, really a competition. He went into the season expected to be the number one goaltender, and he's been outplayed by the guy that was expected to be 1B or number 2 on the depth chart, and Jimmy Howard's played really well. I think Howard's very much an NHL goaltender. I don't know if I see him being in the elite category or ever will, but I think he's got the capability of being a good NHL number one goaltender, and I think he still does have that capability. If I'm the Red Wings, even with Mrazek's play of late, I'm still hoping and probably game planning for Mrazek to be the guy in the future, but for the time being, Howard's the better guy, and I can see him continuing to play well for quite some time. So, It's a really interesting situation they're in right now, but I think more than anything else, it's a cautionary tale about, you know, how you have to some. That's why what Devan Dubnyk is doing right now is important. He had that great run two seasons ago, played like a number one goaltender last year, and is now having another incredible year. Devan Dubnyk, I think, is now proven in a 2-year span that he can be a number one goaltender, but you still need a pretty big body of work. Yeah, as Rob just put up two fingers, probably need two seasons of back-to-back number one quality stuff to really be considered that way, because how many guys have we seen do it for one season and not be able to do it beyond that? So that'll be really interesting to watch in Detroit.
Wait and see. Minnesota and Calgary tonight, and those are your three burning questions, or as the text line would say, this segment should now be called Three Stupid Questions. So, Pat, there's your three stupid questions on a Friday.
I disagree, and I think our text line is becoming gradually and gradually more mean, and if you are mean, we don't like you. He's Will. I'm Pat. This is The Big Show. It's brought to you by The Comedy Cave. Jack at The Comedy Cave, not mean. Paul Ogata, the headliner this week at The Comedy Cave, not mean. The price, not mean. $10 every single night. Tonight's Friday, late show, $10. Tomorrow, no Flames game. Early show, $10. Late Show, $10. Rib Tickler, every day, $29.95. Feeds four, ribs, fries, veggies. Get yourself to the Comedy Cave. It's Calgary's best night out value, and they're online, comedycave.com, or reserve and buy tickets calling 403-287-1120. Robbie and I have got lots to talk about this afternoon. Football Friday, just after 3 o'clock, our final chat to wrap up the season with Arash Madani, Jason Lacanfora, and more. Big Show continues from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Friday night hockey at the Saddle Dome. Flames in Minnesota. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is on the air and online at 6, live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Steinberg hosts 60 minutes of hockey talk to get you ready for the Flames and Wild. Derek and Peter call the Flames and Wild at 7. After the game, make sure you lock it on for a full breakdown on the postgame show and get your takes ready for the overtime call-in show. Flames and Wild, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by Shank Sports Grill.